Hello and welcome back to the See You Out There podcast, the podcast where two unqualified football fans try to sound qualified to talk about football. Oh, we're back in person, live in colour. This is good.
It's brilliant, yeah. What a week. What a time.
Anything happen?
No, but we're straight back into it.
Any big football news
stories? Oh, no, jeez, no, nothing. No. Nothing.
Not the greatest player of all time moving club or leaving Barcelona, no.
What are you talking about? Yeah. He didn't leave.
No, he hasn't left yet.
No. He's never leaving. He's never leaving.
Our podcast, Chris, whenever we talk about anything, it usually ends up happening in a different way. So watch Messi stay at Barcelona now, or it was some kind of curse like that. But no, it looks like Lionel Messi, greatest player to ever play the game, in my eyes, is leaving Barcelona.
Yeah, no, it's... It's a very sad day.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, last season there was the whole Burofax thing. It looked like he was going to go, and I wasn't too sad about it because I was like, all right, he's going because he has ambitions to go somewhere else, do something else. And it seems like it was off Messi's back, and it looked like he was going to go to Man City, come to the Premier League, and finally try and silence those doubters who are... It's a stupid comment anyway to make. But,
yeah, absolutely, I agree with you.
But he was going to just shut people up and just say, right, I can do it in the Premier League. Obviously, that's not the way this has gone down. It seems like it was a little bit of a surprise to Messi. Anyone who's listening to this podcast knows the ins and outs of the story, I guess. I'm just quite sad about it. It doesn't feel right for me.
It's kind of a sickener in a lot of ways that he's gone to PSG. And, you know, to me, it's even the fact that it's happened so quickly.
Mm.
Do you know, it was like, oh, he's done with Barcelona. Oh, PSG come in, load of money, here you go. Yeah. Bam. It was just like, because as well, that's what everyone thought might happen, I suppose, back in June when before the official that they had agreed a contract that they couldn't sign in the end. But I don't buy this, like, Messi's entitled to whatever money he wants. You know, he is the greatest to do it. I don't understand why Barcelona didn't do more. It seemed like they were they're trying to get rid of their lame ducks. And if they were really that desperate, I think they should have been going, what's a player we have that someone would actually like to buy? Frankie de Jong. And I know it's mental.
Pedri,
exactly.
Like, that's the
you could bring Pedri back.
I mentioned to you either on or off the podcast, I can't remember. Might be people listening might know, I don't know. But, I think I did say it on the podcast. I was like, if I was a club around Europe that had a bit of money lying around, I'd throw 60 million at Barcelona for Pedri.
But as well, like, you could go to Pedri, like, look, you'd be doing a service to Barcelona, and we will take, if you sign 5 year, you're only 18, 23, we'll pull you back, like Cesc, like Gerard Piqué, like even Eric Garcia is a more recent example, who may not even get to play still for Barcelona.
I don't understand bringing in Depay, who was obviously on big wages, being brought, like, these guys are brought in on free transfers. And this thing, there seems to be a really common misunderstanding with quote-unquote free transfers. Free transfers are not free.
No.
Like, people need to understand they're not free at all. You pay a massive signing on bonus, which is usually in the millions, first of all, to the agent and to the player. And then usually, because a player is signing with no transfer fee attached,
you pay them more.
You pay them a lot more in wages. And the likes of Sergio Aguero and Memphis Depay are not on, like, you know, tiny salaries. They're on big, big wages. And I don't understand why they went and pushed ahead and got pen to paper on those before they had their talisman, the greatest player of all time, sorted. And look, it's just sad.
It really is. And one thing to point out as well is that, there was the figure. With Messi, it was like 110% of Barcelona's revenue is used up by wages. Without him, it's 95%. But how is revenue impacted? Sorry, wages as a percentage of the revenue they take in. But how is revenue now impacted with no Messi?
Yeah, you're not going to get as many, like, even in terms of
shirt sales.
Shirt sales, like, you know, clubs get between 10 and 15% in terms of a royalty for shirt sales. Obviously, Messi sells shirts. So you're talking kind of a couple million there, but
it's one small example though to encapsulate the overall.
Absolutely, but then when you go to clubs, one of their big revenue earners in terms of like match day revenue, TV revenue is going to go down because people, like, you know, watching Barcelona at home to Getafe without Messi is not the same. And then in person as well, a lot of the sales in terms of corporate tickets, corporate boxes, all that stuff. Like when I went to LA, I went to see the Lakers, not just because I wanted to see the Lakers, I wanted to see LeBron James.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can now say I've seen LeBron James. Yeah. That's cool. Like, June, I wanted to see one of the greatest of all time do his thing. And I'm sure millions and millions, if you like amplify it for football and Messi. So yeah, I think, you know, I think they've kind of really dropped the ball in terms of like football wise, and it's a huge blow to La Liga. But PSG have got a good player coming in.
But it just
doesn't butter your biscuit.
I just kind of like, obviously Messi's going to play and everything else, but like, you think of the team they had before he signed, like Di Maria has been, since he went there, I actually think he's been one of the best wingers in around. Like, anytime I've seen him play, he's been fantastic. And I know Messi is an upgrade on Di Maria, but it's just like, what? Like,
yeah, they didn't need him. I know what you mean.
It's not a football signing.
No. Well,
for PSG. No, it isn't. It isn't, because they had that position filled.
If we were to talk about it in terms of, obviously, if you look at who PSG are backed by.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge deal. Like, that government themselves are tweeting about this signing. Then, let's say, and before this signing had even gone through, PSG were my pick for the Champions League this year. I think this is the year they'll do it.
Do you want to know something?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have pegged PSG for the Champions League this year at all, right?
Mm.
But now, because Messi, you know, his stated ambition whilst at Barcelona the last, like, what, 7 years was to win the Champions League again. Now I'd be like, he has the mentality that's lacking. And he also has, he's the one guy PSG could bring in that your party boy Neymar and Mbappe and etc. will actually go, oh, sugar, okay.
Yeah. No, I think even before Messi came in, I had PSG to win the Champions League. Just in my head, I think Messi's going to be Messi, but I think, you know, it's the time of Neymar. I think Neymar has to make his...
But he won't now, though. See, it's not his time.
Yeah, no, that's, it's now, taken it's, now from it's him. Different. This is in my head before Messi had signed. I was like, this is going to have to be Neymar's season in Europe to show who he is. And like, Neymar, I think because of the way he acts and the personality that he is, he doesn't get half as much credit as he deserves as a footballer. Like, he's a very good footballer. In terms of his goal contributions, he's only behind Messi and Ronaldo. Like he's insanely good at the old football.
But it's because he also did the unfashionable thing and went off to PSG.
Yeah.
Early doors.
But I mean, even that, I know, is a big transfer fee, big wages, blah, blah, but even that was a sign of ambition, at least get... He was trying, funny enough, ironically, he was trying to remove himself from Messi's shadow. But it's going to be an interesting, I don't want to call it a battle between those two, but it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see. Obviously, they're great friends. Like, they have no rivalry with each other, and they're going to be playing for the same team.
Messi wanted him back at Barcelona.
Yeah, they're going to be playing for the same team. But yeah, PSG would be my pick to win the Champions League, and it's safe to say that the signing that they're about to make does not lessen that.
No.
Although
the most key signing they made the whole transfer into was Wijnaldum in midfield, because they didn't have that kind of player in midfield.
And I mean,
but that's by the by.
Yeah. We're here to make, like, as long as we're making predictions.
Yeah. We're moving on. Yeah. It's, look, Messi's moved.
It's a new dawn.
There's a lot happened in this transfer already, but it's not about transfers. It's about football. And what starts this Friday evening? But the Premier League.
It's funny, because it seems like we were sitting here doing our season review like a few weeks ago.
I know exactly what you mean.
It seems like we were doing our season review a few weeks ago, because we had the Euros and we kind of had the Olympics and transfers and everything, and it's like suddenly it's like, oh crap, okay, we're here, let's get it going. And this Friday Arsenal open up the show against Brentford.
Are you excited? Because to be honest, I really am, and I didn't think I would be at this point. When we did the season review last year, I was like, oh, okay, thank you, it's over. But now, like, And it might be, you know, the superficial transfers or whatever, but it's just, I suppose maybe it's because the possibilities are endless for the season and who knows what's going to happen and
yeah.
who's going to perform, who's not, all this kind of stuff.
No, I got a, it's my doorbell ring. I have to admit, I got excited and then I got nervous. I'm nervous now. Because it's such a big season for Arteta and Arsenal and it could go so many different ways and it's just terrifying, I think. But we'll get into that later on because we will be talking about Arsenal later on. But we're going to be trying to predict what we think is going to happen this season. And lucky for us, starting off, we're going to start off with who we think is going to go down. And lucky for us, we've actually picked the same two teams in 19th and 20th.
Yeah. So to start off our predicted league table for, you know, May of next year, we both have Watford going down at 20th and Brentford going down at 19th. And you said something very interesting to me before the podcast. You were surprised that we've gone the same way. And why is that? On Brentford specifically.
Yeah, well, I mean, start off, just to quickly glaze over Watford, I just don't think they have the juice.
No, and like, they're a basket case of a club.
And, like, you know, they deserve to go down for those, like, I like Kelme as a brand, but to go to those steak.com shirts.
Oh, God, yeah.
No offense to steak.com, I don't even know what they do, but those shirts are awful. So they deserve to go down for those shirts alone. But on to Brentford in 19th. I felt like that was a controversial opinion because obviously, you know, we do a football podcast, we're on the internet. You know, Brentford ball. Like, you know, it's supposed to be this big, you know, project, this tactical project, and they got the new stadium and Thomas Frank is in charge and Ivan Toney scored 33 goals last season and all this kind of stuff, and everyone's like, ooh, they're gonna, like, you know, finish like in the top half. Some people think Brentford are gonna finish in the top half, and I'm like, this is the Premier League. I'm like, they haven't got, I know they've got a few experienced heads, but I just don't see it. I don't think they have the, like, 1 to 11, I don't think they have the quality to go 38 games and have enough points to stay up.
It's because they're Twitter darlings.
Yeah, that's
because
it.
Like, it's a well-run Twitter. There's a section of football Twitter that loves a well-run football club that signs players for cheap and sells them for high.
I mean, who doesn't love a well-run
football exactly.
club?
There's so few of them.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, the redemptive arc of Ivan Toney after dropping down to, you know, Peterborough before Brentford picked him up for a pittance and then, as you say, goes on to score a rake of goals. But not only that, is this the Premier League and they're 1-11, they came through the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it took a massive comeback in the semi-finals of the playoff against Bournemouth to even make it to the final. Now, when they got to the final, it was, they handled it. But, like, Watford and Norwich finished ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've consistently bottled it come the final few months of the season. It's like, as you say, that temperament. So I don't think it's mental to say they're going to go down.
Yeah, I think it's really funny that we both kind of just were like, Brentford 19th.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Now,
this
we're
is where
moving
on to 18th place. I think we've got it. We've got two really interesting,
controversial.
Picks. Yeah.
You go first.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you far ahead.
I have Wolves going down this season,
which I find baffling. So please enlighten me as to your reasoning.
So they haven't really brought in any bodies yet this summer. Like, this could all change in the next. I think the market's going to go mental, so this could all change in the next few weeks. I do think they're going, they already lost Jota. I do think they're going to lose Neves to somebody. I don't know whether that be Arsenal, Man United. I don't know where he's going to go.
It'll probably be like Galatasaray or something.
Yeah, maybe. But I think they will lose him. And I think if any club is signing him, let's say it be Arsenal or United or someone towards the top half of the table, it'll be late in the window. It'll be almost too late for Wolves to bring in an adequate or proper replacement. They lost their manager. Well, they sacked / lost their manager, who's now in charge of Tottenham. So it's a new manager. They haven't really brought in the bodies. I'm sure they have the statistical info to let them know, but I mean, it's questionable how well Jimenez is. Like, you know, how well he's going to be able to perform at a Premier League high level. And I just think they were poor last season, and I see no reason for them to be better this season.
I think that's, you know, you're not wrong, and I suppose a lot of this, it's not, I don't think it's crazy to suggest that a lot of what we say here depends on transfers and what happens, and if as you say Neves goes, that will be a blow to them. However, I just don't think they'll drop to that level. You know, they've been top half team up until last season. You know, they run the Europa League and everything else, and I know Nuno left, but this might just be the rejuvenation or the kick up the arse they need. And maybe. I don't think it's going to result in like a top half table finish, but it'll just be enough to kind of kickstart them back from where they were last year. And who knows about Jimenez, in fairness, but
I just
there's so much more worse teams than Wolves, I think.
Sure, like, I just think it could be, like, you know, I think we didn't really get any shockers last season. I think that could be a shocker this season. I mean, they lost their goalkeeper as well. Rui Patricio's gone.
They found some other Portuguese player, didn't they?
Like, I worry because obviously they brought in Trincao from Barcelona.
Yeah, he's exciting.
Which is a good signing. But I mean, it's happened before where clubs have brought in flash players and it just, they are flash and they look good, but it just doesn't work out. It also seems like for some reason Traore doesn't play 90 minutes anymore. Like, I just think they're teetering on a knife edge, and I think you have them staying on and I have them falling off. And
well,
I think the kick up, like, I think, like, the Premier League is so unforgiving that I think it could be a scenario where they start a downward spiral, and then let's say they sack this new manager, who, apologies, I haven't even got his name in my head. They sack their new manager. They haven't brought in enough bodies. Let's say they've lost Neves, they've lost Patricio, they lost Jota the season before. Jimenez isn't firing. Cody's not getting any younger. It's too, like, by November, December, it could be too late. It could be far too late. I guess, like, also, it could easily go the way that you're saying it's going to go, too. You have them finishing in 12th.
Yeah.
So, it could easily go that way, too. I guess that's just kind of a gut feeling and an outside pick for me.
Yeah. Well, speaking of knife edges.
Interesting.
18th place for me. Now, I'll caveat a lot of this with, you know, obviously, I don't know. I can't predict the future. And I nearly, to me, this signifies what could happen. You know, a club that, it can go one of two ways, and we spoke about it already. Crystal Palace to get relegated in 18th position for me. I'm just not convinced that there's too much risk, too much new, too much going on. They needed to change after Roy Hodgson, but they've nearly changed too much because they had 11 players out of contract at the end of last season. They have maintained very few of those, and the answer has been to bring in kids. So they've got Gaihi from Chelsea. They got in Anderson, in fairness, good pick up from
Anderson,
after his season in Fulham, and then
Olise from Reading.
But these are all very unproven players. Yeah. And I know Eze was good, but he's injured for most of this first half this season.
They brought in Conor Gallagher as well from Chelsea.
Yeah, but he didn't exactly tear it up with West Brom last year
either. No, I mean, not
it's just like, to me. And as well, on top of all this, so you've got this basically a large chunk of kids playing for this team. They've lost a lot of the experience that they had. And anyone who could, you know, revert to maybe the backs against the wall, let's just tighten up, and topping that off with Vieira, who, look, I wish him well.
Mm.
And as we spoke about when he joined, it could go very well. Like, the ingredients here is if all these kids gel and the whole thing works, it could be fantastic for them. But I just think there's a real big risk it won't. And
yeah, no, sure, you're right. Like, you're not wrong. It is risky. The thing, like, obviously I have a soft spot for Patrick Vieira, but at the same time, I think in terms of someone who understands the league, he at the very least understands
the league 10 or 15 years ago, though.
Oh yeah, but I mean, in terms of the physicality of the Premier League, although the game has changed, level of the Premier League has always been at this crazy level that only people who have managed to a high level or played at a high level can really understand. With Vieira as well, like, Vieira, you know, it's not as if, you know, it would be easy to compare to Arteta or to Lampard or, you know, any of these ex-players coming in, because it's just sort of feels like that same flavour, but he's been a coach for quite a while now.
And that, has had head coach experience at a higher level than some of the, like, Solskjaers and Arteta.
Yeah, like Nice is a huge club.
And he did keep them sort of seventh, so.
Yeah, he didn't do a bad job. Obviously, he got his coaching training sort of, I guess, similar to Arteta in a sense. He was the first real trial run with the City coaching program. He was obviously brought into City later on in his career, did some coaching, coached the youth teams, and then was sent to New York as the head coach for the City group. So he's been a coach for quite a while. I have them in 15th, so not a great season, but I have them doing just about enough. I think they have enough quality, and I fingers crossed for Paddy. I think he knows what he's doing, I would hope.
Yeah, look, I think it's a very volatile situation. So then, I suppose moving on up to 17th, we agree here, we've both got Norwich, and I think we both, from taking that you think Wolves could down Ico Palace, it's clear that I think we both reckon somebody's going to fall out of the top, you know, out of the sort of safety bracket, like your Burnleys, who are always safe, and Brighton, you know, they've been safe for a few years now, and that Norwich, I think, you know, as the champions of the championship, are best placed to capitalise on someone else above them failing.
Yeah, and I think they've done some really interesting moves. Also, keeping Daniel Farke was a really good idea. I remember when they came up last time, their first game was against Liverpool, and I think they got smashed like 4-1 or something, but the thing that was really encouraging was their playing style. And it's safe to say that he's only improved on that. So, based on previous experience, I know it'd be easy to say that Norwich would go down because they tend to when they come up. But, I mean, they lost Buendia, sure, but they've made some really, really interesting moves. I mean, they've got the two Irish boys who are basically the two hottest prospects in Irish football, Adam Ida and Androma Vamadele.
I still can't figure out how to pronounce his name.
So they've got the two hottest prospects in Irish football, which I guess kind of makes them more attractive for an Irish person to say that they will do well. But Rashica.
Yes, Rashica.
Like, that's a crazy one. That's so weird.
For anyone who doesn't know, I've kind of been, you know, Werder Bremen in Germany have been my sort of second team for a while now. And Rashica is a baller. Like, yeah, he's brilliant. He should have left last year for like a team in Europe, like Bayer Leverkusen in the Europa League or something, but he didn't for some reason. So Bremen got relegated to the second division and Norwich picked him up for what I would say is a steal.
It seems like Norwich have just come in under everybody's noses and just snapped him up. And
he was considered the Sancho replacement for a while for Dortmund. Like
this guy is... This guy, like, I mean, if you were to pick a...
We might be bigging him up a bit too much, but he's good. Maybe, like, he's good. He's pacey and he's got a good right foot.
He's good on the ball. He's been one of the more impressive players in the Bundesliga for quite a few years now.
He's been one of the only reasons Bremen have stayed up for as long as they did.
It's kind of crazy because, you know, he's been linked to it. Like, you know, if you read the wild articles from tabloids, like, you know, oh, it's been like City are interested in Rashica, Chelsea are interested in Rashica, United, Liverpool, Arsenal, like Bayern, like everyone has been interested in Rashica at some point, and here he is, Norwich.
Yeah, so it's a good pickup for them.
Yeah, best of luck to him, and I think players like him could make the real difference. Obviously they've still kept a lot of their experience heads, and
also it doesn't look like Max Aarons is moving anywhere too soon.
Yeah, which is.
That could be late in the window, Arsenal pickup, because they need a right back.
Yeah, I mean...
Unless they go and buy Trippier for stupid money.
I think Arsenal will do something that is neither of those things, but we'll get onto that. We'll get onto that later on. So then, I guess, you know, we're kind of saying the same teams in and around here. I mean, like, you know, we both have Burnley staying up. I am now fully on board the train. I think I said it, remember before, NBAB was my abbreviation earlier on in the season when we were talking about this on the podcast. Never back against Burnley.
Yeah.
I will no longer say they're going to go down because I will just be wrong.
Yeah.
I'll be eternally wrong. They'll pick up points here. They'll pick up points there. I mean, they beat Arsenal, I think. They did the double over Arsenal last season, I think. Like, I mean, I I can't.
They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. They're never going to go anywhere unless Sean Dyche leaves. Yeah. and then that's it.
They decide they want to be fancy. So
yeah, I mean, we have Brighton staying up. We have...
like, they're in slightly different orders, but we all have them sort of 12th to 15th, 16th.
Yeah. We're kind of like, you know, we've got Southampton there. You know, we'll check in on Ralph when the season starts. And then that kind of brings up to Newcastle. Like, we have these all in kind of different order. We'll put them up on Instagram at some point. But Newcastle, yeah, I think Newcastle will be fine. I mean, Bruce knows what he's doing. They're not doing anything really exciting. I mean, they got Joe Willock, it looks like.
Yeah, which strengthens them.
Which is a really good signing, and I'm delighted for Joe, because, you know...
he'll be signing for Liverpool this time next year.
Oh, stop. But he wasn't going to get any game time at Arsenal. Like, regardless...
Regardless
of whether... like, I know there was a lot of calls from Arsenal fans to keep him, but at the same time...
you need cash.
Yeah, 25 million. I know it's not the Alex Iwobi deal, but...
ah, come on. It's pretty damn close to it.
Iwobi, 40. Like, that's... like, it's not... you don't look at 25 million for Joe Willock. You look at 25 million for Joe Willock and you say, that's fair.
Yeah.
For, like, a guy in his early 20s, he's
English. I think they've overpaid based on the form of second half of last season.
Sure, but if you want them, you pay the money.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, you know, it can only be viewed as a success from Arsenal. A player that you've managed to turn from a child into a 25 million pound asset.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's... you know, people say, oh, we should put in a buyback, we should do this and that and either. I'm like, no, this is pretty good. This is actually quite as good as it gets from an academy product.
Yeah.
Other than, like, you know, your Sakas and your Smith Rowes. So decent. And I think Newcastle will do well. That kind of, we've got, kind of brings us to the top half of the table, just slightly outside. We've got West Ham both finishing in 11th, Everton both finishing in 10th.
Can we touch on West Ham for a sec there? Because
well, they haven't got their man, have they?
Surprised, no. And there's all sorts of reports. If Arsenal do United a favour and sign James Maddison, then we might get our 25 mil for Lingard to Leicester. But anyway,
yeah.
I just don't think, like, you take West Ham's average from the last two seasons. So they finished, what, 16th 2 years ago and 6th last year. And the average is 11th. And that's where we both have them, because they're in Europe. Thursday night football, it's one thing for a United or Arsenal to contend with that, but we've seen so many times in the past, like Wolves, Burnley, they've just been destroyed by having to play those games. And I don't think West Ham have done anything to strengthen properly to really cope with this.
Yeah, and it hasn't, like, you know, it hasn't necessarily done Arsenal or Spurs any favours in the last few years either.
Exactly.
Like, you know, if you have to go... On a Thursday night out to Ludogorets, or you have to go out to Estonia or Azerbaijan or like somewhere out, like, you know, in Eastern Europe, and then you have to come back that night or the next morning, and then you have to train, and you're playing on a Monday night or a Sunday. Oh, it's an absolute nightmare, and it can just kind of slow your legs down. Obviously, there's increased games, increased chance of injury. This kind of plays into my predictions going further up the table a little bit more.
As do, yeah.
But yeah, I think they will suffer. I don't think they have made the correct signings yet.
The rumor about that centre pack's all very well and good, but that's not where they need cover.
They could also, like, they could easily lose Declan Rice before the end of the window. Like, and if not now,
next summer.
It'll be next summer. So they'll have to start thinking about that already. Well, yeah. If they haven't, I'm sure they have. Everton,
the most middling team in the Premier League, becomes more middling as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's not looking good in my eyes. I think we've actually, like, I think we've been quite kind to Everton.
I just think I think in putting them 10th, and my reasoning is Rafa's a good enough manager that he will put them in 10th. But they do not have, they haven't signed anybody. They've gotten guys in for free, like Demarai Gray 1.5, Townsend for free. It looks like he's just going to revert to crossing the ball into Calvert-Lewin. And
which might work.
But, like, yeah, but that's only going to get you so far. And it's just, I think the difference Rafa gives you is putting Everton 10th rather than 13th. Do you know what I mean? Because they don't have enough, especially when you get to the teams in the top 10. They don't have what it takes to contend with that.
Yeah, and whilst Rafa, the peak of his success has come, in terms of with English clubs, has come in Europe, he's never been a Premier League winner. He's never, you know what I mean?
He's steady Eddie.
Yeah, he's never climbed right to the top. And he's been close. He was close in the mid-2000s. Let's not forget, like, you know, credit where credit's due. Obviously, Gerrard in his prime and all that good stuff. But I don't really look at Everton and say, like, other than Calvert-Lewin, I mean, Calvert-Lewin still has to have another, like, he's sort of at the early phase of the English striker career where you have to have a good second season. Yeah. I know he's played more than one season, but last season was his breakout. His sophomore needs to be good too.
Yeah.
I just think I don't look at the team and I say, wow, look at him.
Especially with James Rodriguez's comments this past week about
so strange.
Yeah, like he does not seem happy to be there. And
I mean, he came in for Ancelotti.
And Ancelotti left.
Ancelotti left. Sort of shades of RVP and Fergie. When Fergie left, RVP was like, oh, what? he's like, I thought we were going to create a dynasty. Where'd you go? Everton mid-table is probably the safest bet that we've made on this thing.
Okay. Now.
This is really interesting.
Because we've the same three teams grouped together here, just in a slightly different order.
So I've got Leeds in ninth, Aston Villa in eighth, and Tottenham in seventh. You've got Tottenham in ninth, Aston Villa in eighth, and Leeds in seventh. So it's basically flipped on its head.
Yeah. You want to go first or will I?
I can go first. I like Leeds. I do.
Yeah.
I love Bielsa. I love the style. I love everything. I just think the style dictates doing very well, but losing quite a few games. And in terms of the points tally at the end of the season, I think they'll be fine. They'll be grand. They'll have quite another good season. They'll probably beat a couple of the big teams, lose to a couple of the smaller teams, and end up finishing in the top half of the table.
I agree. I have Leeds in seventh, and to be honest, I made this call before I saw the business Aston Villa were doing. But the main talking point for me here is obviously that I've put Tottenham in ninth.
Yeah, sure.
And
I'm surprised that it's you and not me that's done that.
Yeah, which is interesting. I was surprised you had them in seventh again. Yeah. But I just really wonder. So, even if Kane doesn't go, mm-hmm. right?
Which I think is actually...
There's not enough news of a move to Man City for me to be convinced it's going to happen right now. Yeah. Something
I've bet on that happening, as you can see further up.
But even with Kane, I still think Spurs will finish ninth because I know Harry's the perfect professional.
His head's gone,
and he's working with yet another new manager who also does not. I know he's had some good seasons at Wolves, but does not inspire.
Yeah, he wouldn't...
Surge up the table or, like, even exciting football. Mm. And I feel like, you know, I heard stuff that Sissoko might be leaving, but Sissoko would probably thrive in midfield. You know, Doherty will probably thrive under him, back to a back three with wing-backs, maybe.
He's regular. Having some problems with Doherty in pre-season, actually, I heard. Nuno is. Oh, but anyway, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
And, like, Son signed on, but, like, it's just... Nothing about Spurs inspires confidence, and when... The guy who nearly did 20 goals and 20 assists last season, or whatever the number was in the end, like he was the top assister and top goal scorer. Mm. When he, and they still only finished seventh, and when he's now off the boil or
gone.
Off the ship,
yeah.
He is, there's no chance of that. Like they'll be fine and finish ninth, one place above Everton because they have slightly better players than Everton. That's why how I see it.
Yeah, we've got an airplane interrupting the podcast now.
Does that say leave you out?
No, look, I mean, I love the Tottenham bash as much as the next person. But the reason that I think they'll finish high is not because of their own merit. I think it's because they'll be able to gain more points than the teams that are below them. I think they will be able to get more points than Aston Villa and Leeds. I think, you know, I obviously watched Tottenham play Arsenal in the preseason friendly at the weekend. They beat Arsenal 1-0, which I don't give much credence to preseason results. I mean, it's preseason.
Well, when you beat Everton 4-0.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's all about different things. You've no idea what the coaching staff are doing, whether they're running different, like, ideas, like, workshopping things. You've no idea. It's not a real game. And also, I doubt the mentality of the players is it in the same vein as they would be this weekend. You know what I mean? They're not going to be hyped up coming out for a preseason friendly.
I saw a few people kind of going, like, why are you playing your city rivals in a preseason friendly? It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I sort of feel weird that I know why they do, like, the Emirates Cup and stuff like that. And, like, you know, the Audi Cup and all these things, like, you know, when they go abroad and, you know, you do a little
sponsorship money.
Yeah, a little tour and everything like that. But even, like, you know, Arsenal obviously didn't go on tour. They went, they did the COVID issue. But they played, like, Watford at the training ground and Millwall at the training ground and stuff. But I was like, why am I allowed to watch these? It's like, I feel like I shouldn't be allowed to watch these. Do you know what I mean? I feel like this should be, like, if Arteta wants to do something that, you know,
yeah,
nobody, like, you know, that he doesn't want anyone to see, I guess, look, them's the breaks of being a Premier League team. But, yeah, look, Tottenham, I was impressed by a couple of things that I saw. I mean, they've brought in Romero. They've brought in Gallini. Son looks just as dangerous as ever.
Didn't he get a rest?
No, he was playing, yeah.
He went to play for South Korea over the summer.
Did he?
That's what I mean. I don't think he did. So
oh, no, I don't think so. Yeah, sorry. I thought you meant a rest in the game.
I mean a summer off. Like,
it looks like Nuno has full plans to implement Dele Alli back into the team. And he's a nightmare. He's very good on his day. And if he's firing back to the way he was before, that's good news for Spurs as well. Højbjerg looks really sharp after the Euros. I think if they were to sell Kane and make an addition at striker, of a good striker, going back to the strikers that we were saying, you know, during our squad
has been mentioned.
Yeah, and well, I mean, we all know Tammy Abraham's available. And I think if it was to be Abraham or it was to be Lautaro Martinez, I think they could have not a great season, but a season that they will definitely finish above Aston Villa and Leeds. I suppose we should really talk about Aston Villa, shouldn't we?
Yeah. And this is the one now. I'm staring at the two tables and we both have Villa 8th currently.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get real Turkey at the Euro vibes because...
Oh, you think they could go fall further?
I don't think they'll get relegated, but I think the hype is maybe getting ahead of us. Now,
yeah, sure.
I have my reasons for putting Villa 8th. One thing they've done with the Grealish transfer, not only is get 100 million, which we'll get onto that later.
They preempted it, which was clever.
But, so I have them this high because if you remember, before Grealish got injured last year, they were actually flying high. They're doing so well. And then he got injured and things kind of went meh for the rest of the season, right? Selling him, signing Buendia, Bailey, Ings, and I think Ings is the key here. They've diversified their attacking portfolio so that they're not reliant on one guy. And not only do they, like, Traore is a very tidy winger. They have El Ghazi, who has been good at points, and Watkins. And Watkins as a left inside forward next to Ings.
This is what brings me to the bit where I start to doubt the signings that they've made. Obviously, Dean Smith knows what he's doing, I'm sure. But Ings and Watkins is sort of an embarrassment of Premier League mid-table riches. if that makes sense.
I understand what you're saying.
Like, is he going to mold his squad to make the two of them fit in, or is he going to bench one and rotate? It's a, like, that's...
I don't first... Like, Ings has to start now, I would say, given the fee.
Yeah.
But they've kind of signed the best striker outside of the top six. Like...
Sure, yeah.
Vardy, Kane... before the transfers in the summer, like, who would you... Like, Vardy and Kane... Like, Cavani's good, but he's not kind of like, you know, like, Ings has been, his goal scoring output is third and fourth in a lot of the metrics over the last years, so.
Yeah, I mean, it could propel them also, like, you know, you never know. It's a big test for Leon Bailey finally making his grand interest, sort of like Rashica.
Yeah.
Same kind of vein, one of these Bundesliga, like, you know, mid-carders that's been talked about forever and ever, is finally making his bow in the Premier League. See how he gets on.
Yeah. Yes, like, I just think, like, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, Villa look great. They've recruited well. Even getting in Twan Zabi on loan seems clever. You know, they've got centre back cover now who they've worked with before.
Yeah, that's cool.
And he can play right back. And their full backs are quite good. Mm. Like, Manny Cash was pretty good going forward last year and Matt Target. So.
And obviously, Constant Mings, like you said. Like, yeah. You know.
And, you know, big Emmy Martinez sticks. I would wonder maybe about defensive midfielder, like, is Douglas Luiz all that and Marvelous Nakamba.
Oh.
But
what a name.
I like, on paper it seems really clever and the business they've done seems really smart. I'm just wondering, you know, in my gut, as the same way you have Wolves getting relegated, are we just going to get Turkey 2.0 with Aston Villa?
I actually have a quick thing that I want to check. Does Isaac Success still play for Watford? Because if he does, Isaac Success, yeah, he still plays for Watford. So my plea is that Villa sell Marvelous Nakamba
to Watford
so then you can have Marvelous Success. I just think that's phenomenal. I think that's like, that's better than any transfer business anyone could do this summer, to be honest, in my opinion.
Well, okay, well, yeah, I don't disagree. Final word on Leeds, I suppose I have them so high because I feel like they're a team that would really enjoy being in the Europa Conference for one, but also they were really good last year and they improved a lot in the second half of the season. And I know, was Arsenal were like second in like the second half of the season form. Yeah. Leeds were like third or fourth in that. And they really, like, everyone was like, oh, they're high flying, you know, all out attack. And as you say, win or lose by four goals, basically. But they really consolidated in the second half of the season. And they've signed a left back, which was their problem position. So I just think they might kick on one or two spots with that development. And, you know, like, I suppose with Villa, it's kind of a case for new blood, whereas for Leeds, it's a case of continuity.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, based on history, Marcelo Bielsa isn't going to be Leeds manager for 5, 10, 15 years. Like, obviously, he's an older man too. Like, but, you know, Leeds will be going into a period of, I guess, transition and trying to push on and become a staple in the top half soon. Like,
all the signs from their board, and even apparently BS is looking to buy a house in the Leeds area. Yeah. So he's not there for more than, you know, the 1 year deals he keeps signing.
Okay.
So yeah, he probably won't be there for 5 or 10 years, but he could be there for 3, 4.
Yeah.
And
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I just think they're clever enough on the top 10. Like, when Pochettino, you know, when it implodes on him and he can't win the Champions League with Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe, and he needs a rejuvenation job, he will go back.
Oh, that'd be fun.
To his old master, the apprentice will become the master at Leeds United.
That would be fun.
Now I'm going to cut across you straight away.
Yeah,
sixth
and fifth.
We're going to jump fifth and sixth together.
Not the same two teams here again.
Same two, but
different order.
Listeners, guess who has Arsenal higher, me or Owen? So I have Leicester in fifth and Arsenal in sixth, and Owen,
I have Arsenal in fifth and Leicester in sixth.
So go ahead, give me your reasoning.
Well, this is based on Arsenal. Like, this is based on me preempting transfer. So, whether Arsenal take James Maddison from Leicester, or Arsenal get a return for Martin Odegaard from Real Madrid, Arsenal will only finish in fifth, I believe, if they make a signing in the attacking midfield area. I would expect as well Aaron Ramsdale or a second goalkeeper to come in, whether that be if not Ramsdale, it'll probably be someone on loan from somewhere. But at the moment, Rooner Alex Runerson is second goalkeeper as it stands, which we know does not go well. So, I mean, I would see that two more incoming bodies to Arsenal, an attacking midfielder and a goalkeeper, which is kind of slightly disappointing, but c'est la vie, that's life. I think where Arsenal have an advantage over Leicester, and I call it an advantage on it, and I feel really bad for Leicester now because, you know, one of their strengths is their centre-half pairing, and Fofana is out for the foreseeable and might never be the same again. I mean, we could probably have a good half an hour, 40-minute debate on tackles in pre-season right now. I mean, Dele Alli put in a really nasty one on Pepe as well at the weekend. That was kind of doing the rounds. But I'm saying it kind of puts your heart in your mouth for a second when you think, if one of my main players goes down here to a nasty tackle in preseason, And luckily for Pepe, Pepe is fine. But unfortunately for Fofana, that tackle by the Villarreal player might have just changed the course of his career, which, you know, isn't great. And I think Leicester could suffer. Like, they need bodies. And again, having one of your starters injured before the season even starts, going into a season with Europe, troublesome. Whereas they have made good additions, obviously, in midfield and at striker.
And left back.
And left back as well. If they can, and let's say they were to let Maddison go and bring in a replacement such as Lingard, or I wouldn't be wholeheartedly surprised if Leicester were to sell James Maddison to Arsenal and then sign Martin Odegaard from Real Madrid. That would not surprise me in the slightest either. I suppose I am factoring in the Brendan Rodgers bottle towards March, April, May.
But that bottle has been to drop out of the top four and into fifth, not to drop to sixth.
Yeah, I do think on the flip of that, I think, you know, when we talk about the top four will be stronger than ever this season, I think.
Okay, well, I'll jump in there because I totally agree. I think this summer has... I think Leicester have missed their chance.
Yeah.
They had their chance last season and the season before last. And with the signings the top four have all made and the fact that Liverpool have Van Dijk back and everything else, the gap between fifth and the top four is only growing, right? And to your point, I think Arsenal... Like, I have Arsenal in sixth.
Mm.
That's what? Jumping up... Where did they finish last year? Eighth?
Yeah.
That's jumping up three places. You have them up jumping up three places. Yeah. I don't... Having... Without Europe is one thing.
Mm.
But trying to overcome, I think that's enough to overcome, you know, the two spots I'm saying. But trying to overcome a Leicester team who, yes, okay, they lost one centre back. And Johnny Evans isn't fit yet. But you have to remember, like, before Fofana last season, they had a really strong partnership with Evans and Soyuncu. And Amarty's filling in handily enough at the minute.
Like, when I say fifth and sixth, like, I'm not saying Arsenal pull away from them 6, 7, 8 points. Oh, yeah,
I know.
Like, it's going to be close, like, if that happens. I suppose I'm being more speculatively optimistic.
Although, you know, if Leicester sign Lingard, then it's guaranteed. but I just think, yeah, I don't know. I think Leicester have been fifth, like, the last two seasons in a row. And even with Europe, they've shown they can handle it, like they did last year. And getting in Samare and Patson Daka, which I love the sign of Patson Daka, especially actually because it's clear they have found their Vardy replacement. And Rodgers has even said, as far as I can remember, that Daka is having a substitute year, a sort of development year. So he's not going to be relied upon too heavily.
Yeah, an acclimatization year. I mean, I think every player coming from outside the Premier League should have like a gap year, you know, especially if they're a younger striker or an attacker or a goalkeeper. Especially
coming from the Austrian Bundesliga.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I mean, you know, every single team out of the 20 may be lesser known about the ones down the bottom, but I'm sure you could pick out one or two easy examples of a player who had a bit of a cold first season and then burst into life. Which is another reason why I think Arsenal will do quite well, because I think, you know, as long if Bukayo Saka stays fit, Emile Smith Rowe stays fit, most importantly, Nicola Pepe stays fit, I think Nicola Pepe is kind of the key for Arsenal this season.
I would say your season hinges on if one of your strikers can...
Oh, well...
If Aubameyang can get his goal scoring back.
Then. Yeah, if Aubameyang... Well, it's straight up if Aubameyang doesn't get his goal scoring back. Oh, God. Like...
And he's... Sorry, I did look up the lineup. He was playing off the left the last day, wasn't he? Against Spurs in the preseason.
It was weird. Yeah, he was playing off the left, but I think that was sort of an issue of lack of options with, you know, Smith Rowe playing through the centre, and then obviously Saka is only coming back from injury. Saka's fit. It's Saka and Pepe. And then central is Aubameyang. But if Aubameyang doesn't get his act together this season, well, first of all, I think it could be both his and Lacazette's last season at Arsenal. And second of all, if he doesn't get his act together, Arsenal could be way further down.
Yeah.
A lot further down.
So then, I suppose, moving on then fourth, and it's apt that we had our Liverpool squad builder last week and the input of a Liverpool fan who I would say agrees with us on this, putting Liverpool fourth. As we spoke about last week, and also actually that Robertson injury didn't look great.
Yeah, no, that's no bueno, even if it's only for a month or two. Like, it's not as if they're blessed with options.
Simikas,
yeah.
Simikas is their replacement left back, or James Milner. But I think, you know, Liverpool, they finished third last year. Van Dijk will be back. I don't think, like, you know, you can't expect Liverpool to suddenly be straight back in the title challenge or anything with Van Dijk, because you're saying Fofana mightn't be the same, Van Dijk mightn't be the same, Gomez mightn't be the same. They both had pretty serious knee injuries.
Yeah, I mean, the like we mentioned last week as well, the front three aren't getting any younger.
This kind of feels, and as Tommy touched on last week, like it's nearly like they should be in transition now, but they can't be because they're kind of in a limbo. As in, they should like rejuvenate that front three. You know, they should be making more waves in the transfer window.
It's almost as if they have to hang on to this top four spot now and do it next summer.
It's like a holding pattern.
Yeah, but the risk you take is if they were to fall out of the top four this season, which I don't think they will, but you never know.
Yeah.
no bueno. But I think they're fairly nailed on for the top four, and that they're sort of the gatekeepers, because I think third place, we've gone the same team. I think Man United will be sort of put in the bold corner. They'll be just by themselves.
I have a feeling that I have United third as well, obviously, but I actually think they'll be close to the top two. I don't think they're going to be as far off, and, you know, sort of how they were last season, sort of on their own in second, because they made two very big signings, and they're not going to be, they'll be closer, and they should be, but a benefit is, I think the top two, as we both have Chelsea and City in the top two, are going to start taking points. It's going to be a tight battle up there, and United will be, you know, in and amongst it. They're kind of focused on each other, and United are in and around there close enough. I don't think they'll win the title, but
I think
they still need a defensive midfielder.
I think, you know, obviously as games go on further, I think, you know, by Christmas it'll be very clear who's in the title race, as it usually is. I think Man United still might be hanging around at Christmas time, but I think the other two are just going to be like two roadrunners. I think they're just going to go. It almost feels like a big boxing match or something. It just feels huge, especially if City bring in Kane. You know, they've got their two big strikers. You know, they've made their big signings. It's all coming to a head. They beat them in the Champions League last season to sort of spark a bit of
rivalry,
a bit of vengeance. I guess we should say, yeah, we've got the same two teams up the top if people haven't been counting, and we've both gone different ways.
Yeah, so Owen's gone City to win it, Chelsea second, and I've gone Chelsea to win it. And to be honest,
I could flip a coin on it, to be honest.
But what's put it in Chelsea's favour, in my opinion, is the signing of Lukaku.
Yep.
And not only is he been brilliant in Serie A, and his goal scoring return in the Premier League with United, Everton, West Brom, and Chelsea,
He scores goals.
But not only that, the way he's played at Inter Milan and the way Tuchel plays, it seems like, to me, a match made in heaven. He is going to slot in perfectly to this 3-4-3, whatever he operates with. And I also think Werner's finally going to have
A partner
he can play off.
Sure, I mean, and it's sort of the Lautaro Lukaku.
Lalu.
Yeah.
That's the nickname they had. Lautaro Lukaku. So that's what the Lula was the nickname for the Inter Milan. Wheelu.
Yeah, Wheelu. Have we just
Lua. Oh no, he's someone else.
We just made something there. So, you know, when you see that on Twitter, tag us, give us credit.
But yeah, I just think Lukaku, and then also they were quite advanced. Like, if they get Koundé in as well, that's a stronger centre back option. So, just like they were really building towards something with Tuchel, and it's only strengthened now. Like, Lukaku, I think, will fire them to the league. And
yeah, sure.
Hot take on City: I don't think they'll win the league next year, because even with Kane, they won't win it. Because betting in to, if Kane is to move, that's 200 plus million on two players, betting those guys in, and a lull after winning the league already. Also, bloody hell, lads, we need to go and get the Champions League.
Sure, yeah. I mean, The reason I have City over Chelsea is because I sort of, it sounds crazy to say, but I sort of feel like I haven't seen enough of Chelsea to confidently make that call, if that makes sense. Tuchel's Chelsea. Like, I know they won the Champions League, and I know they were quite good in the Premier League, but I also saw a lot of... I think the Champions League really buttered up the second half of their season. Even though it was quite good, I mean, they did have some pitfalls. They did have some bad moments towards the end of the season. I wonder, over the course of 38 games, I mean, like, Guardiola's coming locked and loaded. 38 games. He knows exactly how to do this. He's done it a couple of times already. I mean, you've got you've got Stones. You can name it off the top of your head. You add Grealish and Kane into the mix. I mean, they haven't lost anyone yet, which is sort of a financial problem for them. But, I mean, they've still got a mammoth of a squad. And I'm not, like, and I think it'll be close. I think it'll be really close. And like I said, I could flip a coin on it. Like, I think you're choosing from a choice of two to win the league this season. You know, I don't think anyone else will be able to come close to that level consistently. But I think over the course of 38 games, Pep Guardiola in charge, Harry Kane up front, City win the league. If City don't sign Kane... I think they will, but if they don't, then that could definitely change my mind.
If they don't sign Kane, I actually think they could drop to third.
Ooh.
I think. because they don't have a striker, and I know they basically won the league last year without a striker, but you just have to know that, like, by the end, you know, people were starting to figure it out, and Chelsea definitely figured it out. And I... personally, I do think United will be third. I think they'll be a close third to the top two. And in that scenario, they probably have some sort of say in who wins the league if they take off points from whoever. That's the United perspective. But, yeah, and I don't really understand signing of Grealish, to be honest. I really don't get it. I don't see him as 100. I see him as a great player, and he should be a pickup for a top six side or top four side. But 100 million.
Yeah, look, I mean, my mind, I could go on about, you know, I'll talk about it enough throughout the year, I'm sure, in terms of, like, value extraction, transfers, transfer prices. I know you've compared me to an economist before talking about transfers. I don't think any player is worth 100 million.
Except Haaland.
I don't think any player is worth 100 million. Like, the only, like, I mean... some financial institution did a study in terms of inflation and the inflation of the market, what players have cost now, you know, back in the day from transfer fees and stuff, and it's ridiculous, like, you know, the inflation of the market. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, big money signings, like, you know, you're talking 80 plus, how many of them have worked out really well? Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, not too many more have done that well. I know you could be nitpicky and probably talk about it for ages. Like, you know, if you actually looked into it properly, I haven't. But, I mean...
has Neymar really returned 200 million worth?
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying... and he's been good. He's been very good. But not worth that much money. PSG could have probably got someone for 40 or 50 who...
and then another five players.
Who wouldn't return the same... like, you know, sort of going back to the money ball side of things, they wouldn't return the same numbers as Neymar, but they could get you close enough that you could justify your investment and start to bring up other areas of your squad. Anyway, we could debate about that all day, but I think you're right. I don't think Grealish is worth 100 million. I think he did a big favour to Aston Villa by signing that new contract last year, because otherwise, I mean, you know, Aston Villa probably would have got 60 or 70 million for him. Even earlier on the window, you know, when people were talking about Madison to Arsenal, there was the thought of how much more would Grealish cost. We know the answer now. But look, I mean, the answer to all the questions and to everything that we did is that we'll see sooner rather than later.
Yeah, for some reason, you know, we went through our predictions at the end of last season for last season, and I feel more confident in this one, I think. There's a lot more sense to this. Like, I'm, you know, Southampton might you know, finish eighth, and we'd be like, oh wow. But like,
God damn it,
is that the height of it, you know? So
yeah,
look, in case you missed it, we've laid it all out there. I haven't got Chelsea to win the league. Owen's got City. It'll be on Instagram if you want to refer back to this. I'll only delete it if it gets really wrong. But there you have it.
I mean, just as a fun little last tidbit before we go, give me a shout for the FA Cup and the League Cup.
League Cup, City. They win it every year.
Sure.
FA Cup, I'm going to go bold. United to win the FA Cup.
Interesting. I think Liverpool win the FA Cup. They haven't won it in ages. I just have a sneaky feeling about them.
I can't even think about the FA Cup objectively. I'm just going United.
Yeah, I'm just totally spitballing it. I think Arsenal win the League Cup. Screw it.
And the Europa. Oh, wait.
Okay. There's no need for that. All right. We'll leave it there for this week. The next time I talk to you, we'll have something to talk about.
Yeah, some football.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God. That's terrifying. If Arsenal lose to Brentford, this is going to be a very, very long season. Who are United playing?
Leeds.
Okay, we'll leave it there for this week. The next time we'll be talking, we might be crying or laughing, we'll see. But until next week, Shawnee, I'll see you out there.
I'll see you out there.